5. I still hold concerns about key parts of this plan, Icy said, as though Tern hadn't heard it the first two or three times. Tern, Icy, and Hessler stood on the canyon floor, well below the mining facility entrance and on the far side of the canyon, from where Ululenia and Desidora were presumably violating the integrity of the corpse to create a copy of the aura-locked key crystal. The walls were red and spooky, the trees were creepy, and the overall feeling was a lot less in a friendly city with a lot of good carver shops than Tern liked.
It will be fine, Icy, she said again,
and it looked for a moment like Icy was going to stop. But then Hessler, normally the best boyfriend in the world, had to chime in with,
What aspects of the plan concern you? The use of an uncontrolled magical explosion remains foremost in my mind, Icy said.
They stood near a pile of loose rubble that marred the otherwise glassy perfection of the canyon wall. The rubble started about 40 feet overhead, and Tern could see the original man-made marks where a tunnel had once been opened in the wall, along with scars in the ground where old scaffolding had once stood. According to the miner she and Icy had bought drinks for the last time they had considered robbing the processing center, the second mine entrance, an attempt to increase productivity and vent the magical build-up in some of the older tunnels, had failed miserably in a collapse that nearly cost good men their lives.
I think uncontrolled is a really unfair way of putting it, Tern said,
looking up through the arms of her crossbow at a small spur of stone a few feet above the tunnel.
And now everyone hush.
Everyone hushed. Tern aimed for another moment, let out a long, slow breath, and then fired. The bolt, tipped with a dwarven rock splitter head, sank half its length into the glowing red rock, with a thin line dangling from it down to the ground.
We're eliminating any chance of deaths of innocent miners by creating the explosion at night, Hessler said. So if any moral concerns can be... My concerns are that we are making an explosion, Icy said,
with a tiny little sigh only Tern could hear, and pulled himself up the line with an easy hand-over-hand rhythm that looked simple until you thought about it or tried to do it yourself in an inn room once or twice.
To be fair to Icy, Hessler said, we're not sure exactly how large an explosion this is going to cause. There's a reason the miners close these tunnels when the ambient magic builds up past a certain point.
Baby, as long as we're not in the tunnel, we're fine, Tern said.
See, you sound very confident, but I'm not sure how you've arrived at...
Shh! Icy needs to concentrate.
I don't believe he's still within earshot.
Shh!
Icy had, in fact, just reached the old tunnel entrance about 50 feet overhead, holding onto the line with one hand and carefully working his other hand into the rubble that marked the collapsed tunnel. Tern heard him grunt slightly, and a little plume of red glowing dust puffed out around him, along with a few small rocks that skipped down and clattered to the ground below.
There is a small passage, Icy called down softly. I believe I can maneuver through it.
He uncoiled a length of fine leather tubing from his waist and tossed it down to Hessler, leaving the end attached to his waist.
Remember, one sharp tug means that you must feed me more tubing and shake the line, as it may have gotten caught, while two tugs means that I am stuck and need you to pull me back.
How many tugs means that we should trigger the explosion? Tern asked.
Icy raised an eyebrow.
Me standing next to you, having extricated myself from the tunnel safely and explicitly telling you to trigger the explosion, is the only agreed-upon signal for you to trigger the explosion.
Oh, maybe three tugs?
Tern grinned. Icy's eyebrow communicated what most people communicated only by swearing loudly, which was impressive, given that it was the middle of the night and said eyebrow was lit only by evil red rocks. Icy grunted, let go of the line holding him up and eased himself into the tiny gap in the rocks that Tern was only half sure actually existed.
Do you wish I exercised more? Hessler said after a moment,
feeding the coil of tubing up into the tunnel overhead. Tern punched him gently on the shoulder.
You are perfect just the way you are, boyfriend.
Ever since you got shot.
Which I recovered from completely, Tern said immediately,
ignoring the way the bones in her shoulder ached whenever the weather changed.
I just... Hessler sighed.
I don't want to let you down again.
Baby, I don't see how you having rippling abs is going to make the difference between life and death, Tern said. If you want to have rippling abs, go for it. I will absolutely support that. But do it for yourself, not for me.
After a moment, Hessler said, Thank you.
Unless you want rippling abs so that you look better naked and can do that one position we saw in the book.
Hessler coughed. I notice the fixation upon abdominal.
He broke off at a tug on the tubing and shook the line with careful concentration.
You don't need to save me, Tern said.
Nor can he, came a voice from behind them.
And Tern and Hessler turned to see the trackers Kale had talked about coming out of the trees toward them. Desidora turned around slowly. The chimera loomed over her, a few steps away. It was not as big as she had expected. Curled up, it was probably no larger than a pony. But it spread itself wide enough to blot out the nighttime sky, the translucent skin between its wings catching the crimson light from the walls, so that the wings themselves seemed to glow. Heads watched her. Wolf eagle, jaguar, snake. Every eye burned with glowing embers of anger. Rainbow sparks hissed at joints, dripping bits of magic on the canyon floor.
I do not wish to fight, Desidora said, completely honestly. Death, priestess, the chimera said.
And it was a they, not an it. The beaked wolf spat one word, and the snake hissed the other.
Chosen by the gods to bring death. Do you bring ours?
No, Desidora said, taking a slow step backward.
Pity. We were many once. Pixie and satyr and periton and self. There was fighting. Our fault, but not ours. We did not want it, except those of us who did.
The voices whined and growled through the words, as if biting through each syllable.
And now we are us.
They took a step forward to match Desidora's step back, her wolf paw spurred with porcupine spines.
We hurt. We never stop hurting. The feeding does not let us become one again. But you might. Your gift of death. The power might let us become one. Or die. Either would be good.
The air around Desidora went cold, and the grass darkened to twisting black thorns around her.
I have said twice that I wish no conflict with you, but if death is your wish, attack me, and I will grant it.
Her dress slid to a glossy black, trimmed with silver glyphs at the hem, which, honestly, Desidora thought was a really nice touch.
Stupid woman!
The chimera twitched, and then they were on top of Desidora, pinning her to the ground so quickly that she had not even seen them move.
You hold no power over us. We have no soul for you to touch with your death powers. We are unliving, pollution of the ancients' magic. And now that they return, we will be hunted and killed.
The beaked wolf head loomed in close to Desidora's face, close enough for her to feel its breath.
But we will die last.
Surprise, Desidora muttered, and stabbed the chimera with a silver knife she had slipped from her pocket. The silver caught fire as it touched the fairy creature's skin, and the chimera reared back, every one of their heads shrieking. The chimera flashed, rainbow sparks flaring wildly, and Desidora felt a tremendous impact, rolled and slid, and then slammed into the canyon wall with another tremendous impact that left the stone around her cracked. It would have killed a normal woman, but Desidora was not a normal woman at the moment. She struggled to her feet as the chimera howled and thrashed, one of their legs trailing limp on the ground, with prismatic energy sparking from it.
Too many, the chimera rasped. Too many to die so easily.
Your loss, Desidora said.
One hand slapped the wall, which glowed red with the latent energy of the crystals deep within it. The red glow suddenly went dark around her hand, fading to normal stone, and leaving a dead and dull section of canyon wall 20 feet across, and Desidora raised her other hand and flung her stolen fire at the chimera. This time they staggered, eagle and bat wings flailing madly, a dozen malformed claws lashing at the air, But Desidora saw that while the force of the fire had flung the chimera back, the creature was largely unburnt, with just a little smoke curling away at the edges of the body where fur met feathers. Whatever twisted magic held the chimera together protected the creature as well. As her attacker stumbled, she lunged for the silver dagger where it lay on the ground. A wolf paw slammed her to the ground just short of the weapon, and she reached frantically as the crushing weight of the creature pressed her again to the ground.
"No!"
said the chimera from every mouth at once.
"You are foolish to fight me. Arrogant. Such an arrogant apple, babbling brook!"
The chimera crashed to the ground beside Desidora, a snowy white eagle atop it.
"Quickly!"
Ululenia's voice rang in Desidora's mind. Desidora lunged for the silver dagger. Even as she turned, Ululenia had already shifted into a great white bear, roaring her rage as she ploughed into the chimera. But the creature was coiling and striking around her, claws and scales and fangs and quills, and Desidora brandished the knife, saw a head that wasn't Ululenia's, and struck again and again. The chimera roared in pain from every mouth, and a brilliant burst of rainbow light speared through the creature's body, shining in the nighttime sky. It was Ululenia's horn. She had changed to her natural form, and the chimera was crumbling to dull grey dust around her. And as the dust settled, Desidora saw that the rainbow sparks no longer flared from the dying body. They twisted instead into Ululenia. She was still snowy white, but on her flank, next to the black mask with the antlers, there sat a new mark, a flame, whose tongues were each a tiny, different animal head. Desidora sank to her knees as the death magic left her. Her gown, pale green again, was torn from the claws, and her hands were shaking.
"Are you all right? I thought I should check on you,"
Ululenia said, her voice a little strained.
"I didn't come back to kill the chimera. I just wanted to be certain you were safely away.
If you hadn't," Desidora said, "I'd be dead right now." She got back to her feet, wobbling a little, and put a hand on Ululenia's flank.
"Thank you. Yes, I saved you. That is what I did. It wasn't... There was no other way. I knew somehow. I must have felt it waking and not realized it. That's why I... Don't tell, little one."